Brother Reyes, would you read, do you have a Bible with you? Would you read John 15, verse 16 for us? That's okay.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm real coordinated. All right. Thank you, Austin. Thank you, Brother Johnson. We're there. Yes, sir.
John 15, 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you.
I think I chose John 15, verse 5 as my favorite verse in the Bible and my life verse when I was in early in the ministry. And John 15, 5, as you know, says where Jesus said that if we would abide in him, we would bear much fruit. And that's what I knew I wanted to do with my life, was bear fruit. And I also was learning early in the ministry that if I didn't abide with Christ, number one, I wouldn't bear fruit. And number two, I wouldn't bear fruit very long or enjoy doing it very much if I didn't seek him and abide with him. And then the longer I was in ministry and the more opportunities I had to see people saved and baptized, which is just really the reason you enter the ministry and what gives you the most satisfaction in ministry, I learned the truth of John 15, 16 that Brother Reyes just read, which says that Jesus' desire is that our fruit would remain. And we know that one of the greatest satisfactions in ministry is seeing fruit. And yet then one of the most difficult things in ministry is seeing that fruit wither and seeing that fruit not produce the hundredfold that the parable that Jesus taught said that it should. And we've learned that there are some things we can do to try to increase the likelihood of people sticking around and seeing the fruit remain. And that's what this class is about. The Starting Point class here at LBC is really one of the key components of our strategy for seeing fruit remain. Nothing replaces personal soul winning. But then I would say there's a three-pronged strategy, and you can put this down maybe by way of introduction, for seeing that fruit remain spiritually. One prong is adult Bible fellowships. People are five times more likely, statistically speaking, to be in the church 5 years from the time they're added if they've connected with a group than if they never did. The likelihood of someone being in your church 5 years after they join is like 17% if they just go to worship services. But if they get into a Sunday school class or an adult Bible fellowship or whatever you want to call them, life group, if they get into one of those and make some friends, there's an 80-some percent likelihood that they'll be around 5 years from now. It's just, and that shouldn't surprise us if we read the book of Acts and the epistles, because relationships are really where New Testament ministry happened in the context of the early church. But there's really a three-pronged approach to seeing fruit remain here, and one is the adult Bible fellowships, two is the discipleship. The discipleship is a one-on-one ratio, and where we give someone a mentor who's going to really dig into the scriptures, like Ananias did for Paul, like Aquila and Priscilla did with Apollos. And then the third prong of that strategy would be the Starting Point class. And I believe we started the Starting Point class 4 or 5 years ago, and it's been such a joy to watch the people come through that class and to remain. We don't get every new member to come to the class. But I will say there is a dramatic difference between the retention rate of the ones we get to come to the class and the ones who never get around to coming to the class. It's just worlds apart, which to me underscores the importance of the class. First of all, in your notes, we're going to study understanding the importance of the class. Let me tell you why we believe the class is important. Letter A, it allows the newest people to get to know the pastor. The larger a church gets, and this is something, and churches struggle sometimes with growth thresholds. Churches of 100 struggle to go to 200, and churches of 200 struggle to go to 400. And the higher you get on those thresholds, the more difficult it is with this letter A, people feeling like they get to know their pastor. People want to feel like they know their pastor. And once you get to become a church of 500 or so, they don't feel that unless you intentionally figure out a way to make sure they feel that. And the Starting Point class is a way for 30 or 40 or 50 or 80 people to get into a room with Pastor Chapel and feel like they get to know him. Letter B, it allows the pastor to get to know the newest people. it means so much to people that pastor would remember their name in a church this size, that Pastor Chapel would remember their name 3 or 4 weeks later after the starting point class. And he does that, and that happens because he learned their name in the class. And a pastor needs to know the good things that are happening. A lot of times the adult Bible fellowship leaders or the key soul winners or the pastoral team will know some of the really good stories in the church of somebody who marriage was put back together, or who is now sober who wasn't, or who was gloriously saved out of unbelief. And the pastor needs to know those stories. And that keeps it fresh for the pastor himself. And one of the great reasons for the class is so that the pastor can know who the newest people are and who some of the stories are. And I watch Pastor Chapel get great joy out of doing this class and getting to know those people. Letter C, it answers the common questions of newer people. Newer people, especially unchurched newer people, have a lot of the same questions. And this class is designed to answer some of those questions in their first few weeks of the church. Now, you've been in the ministry long enough to know that the devil's trying to knock people off. And we know in the parables that Jesus spoke about the seed and the soil, and how that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and how that persecution would cause the new, fresh, young plant to wither when his desire is that it would bear fruit. And so what can happen is someone's in your church and 3 months into it and 6 months into it and 18 months into it, they get disgruntled, or they get sideswiped by a trial, or they get attacked by the devil. And the attacks oftentimes aren't new. And so what happens is the questions get answered in really early on. We do the class every 3 to 4 months. And that's a good season for us. And we have 2 services on Sunday, which means Pastor Chapel preaches back-to-back and then again Sunday night. And so he does this starting point class in between the 2 morning services. So he speaks 4 times on a Sunday. It's a little demanding to him, but he feels like it's worth it. And I believe it is as well. If our small groups were at a different time of the day or a different day of the week, he could do it then. But we believe Sunday mornings work well for us because people are already here. We've tried to have new member orientation on a weekday or on a Saturday morning, and we've never seen anything as effective as Sunday morning during the Sunday school hour. That means those of us who teach adult Sunday school classes have to be unselfish about the fact that some of the newer people in our classes are going to leave our class for 3 or 4 weeks and go be with pastor for 3 or 4 weeks. And we're definitely okay with that because we know it's in their interest long term to do that. And we want them to know and love their pastor. But this class answers these common questions for these folks, and it inoculates them. You know, mortality rates are studied generationally and geographically. And certain nations have different mortality rates, and certain generations of our human history have different mortality rates. And what that tells us is that there are certain factors that are in play: medical care, the availability of clean water, the prevalence of disease. There are certain factors in play that affect the mortality rates of little babies in different places of the world and in different ages of our history as humans. Well, there are mortality rates in churches, whether we like it or not. And there's something called attrition that we hate. And not all seed becomes seed that grows 30-fold, 60-fold, not all soil, I should say, 100-fold. But these are some things we can do to increase the mortality rate and to raise the likelihood of folks not only surviving but thriving spiritually. Letter D, it provides the opportunity to define our doctrine and philosophy. The worldly culture we live in and the media outlets that people are exposed to and the critics, whether those are religious critics or secular critics in our neighborhoods and that our people work with and are related to, oftentimes are critical, skeptical, and cynical toward our churches. And this gives Pastor Chapel an opportunity, when someone's fairly new to the church, to define himself what we believe, to define what he means when he says we're a fundamental church, and what is an independent Baptist church, and why do we teach, why do we believe the Bible is inspired, and why do we use the King James Version of the Bible. And he defines it in a way that inoculates them from someone else's cynicism or criticism or pot shots. Letter E, it establishes heightened expectations for new members. It establishes heightened expectations for new members. We set the bar during this. We can set the bar wherever you want during these 3 or 4 week class, and then it affects their perception of what's expected of them. Membership is a diluted term in our society. I have a membership at Costco. Some of you have membership at a health club. Other people have membership at a country club, and other people have membership in a homeowners association. And membership is kind of seen as a convenience. I only have a membership at Costco because of the benefit that I think I receive from that. I don't have membership there because I'm so thankful for them as an organization, okay? Or because I just believe in their core values so much. I only do it because I think it pencils out, okay, over the course of a year. That's the concept sometimes people have of membership. So when we talk about membership at the church, we talk to people about being members of our church. That might be the context they think about that term in. What do I get out of it? But we know that's not the biblical concept of membership. The biblical concept is seen in 1 Corinthians 12, where we are connected to one another and independent from one another and investing our lives into the other members of the body. But we have to tell them that. They don't come to us with that knowledge as new Christians or as unchurched people, or maybe even as people who are coming out of another denomination, or even maybe another lukewarm Baptist church, or maybe even another dysfunctional church. And so we establish these expectations in these first 4 weeks. And someone might have been coming to the church for 3 months or 6 months or a week or two when they come to the Starting Point class. And it helps us. By the time they finish that class, they know what we believe. They've heard it articulated properly from our pastor and from the scriptures. And they have been talked to about supporting the church financially. They've been talked to about why we're Baptist. They've been talked to about why we believe that the Christian life is a holy life. They're not all super Christians after 4 weeks. That's not the goal, is to have them to be super Christians after 4 weeks. We have a discipleship process, and we have it's a journey, the Christian growth. This is not a Christian growth strategy. It's more of a strategy to help them know what the pathway of Christian growth looks like. And it lays the foundation for them. Number next, letter F. It brings potential problems to the surface earlier. Pastor takes time for questions at the end of the class period. And sometimes people's questions reveal to you the kind of baggage they're bringing, you know. And whether it's the charismatic movement or whether it's some other type of a philosophy or a background, sometimes those things come to the surface and you can deal with them now instead of 18 months from now when they've networked with all of the members, okay? And next, letter G, it targets newer members and nearly members. Okay, so in other words, this is a common question I have about the class. Are these for people who've already joined your church or for people who you're hoping join your church? And the answer is yes, okay, both. People become members of our church either by baptism after they've received Christ or by a statement of their faith or a transfer of letter if they're from a Baptist background. Okay, you understand that. And we do that just like most Baptist churches do. They come forward at the altar call. Their testimony is shared with a deacon or a pastor. It's written down. Their information's taken down. And usually when they respond, it's the next week or the next service that they're introduced as a member. And the Starting Point class, the next one coming, might be 6 weeks from now. And you have people that come to your area. They're ready. They know they want to be a part of your church, and they might join on their third Sunday. And then the Starting Point class is 6 or 8 weeks later. Other people are coming to your church and they're checking you out and they're thinking about it. Other people are coming to your church and they're just receiving Christ as their Savior and they're just learning about baptism. When someone's baptized at our church, that makes them a member. So this is people in both groups because nobody makes those decisions and goes over those thresholds at the same rate as other people. So it's both groups. At any given time we meet, on week number one, it's usually about 50-50. About half of these people became members of the church in the last 3 or 4 months, and about half of these people have been visiting the church the last 3 or 4 months, and this is the first set of classes since they've been attending, and those are your absolute hottest and best prospects. Number two, preparing to conduct the class. First of all, include a statement about this class being required in your membership materials. We tell them in the Welcome Aboard booklet, which is one of the PDFs I'll send you. It's about a 12-page booklet on membership here that we give to folks coming from a Baptist background. It says in there that the Starting Point class is a required class that finalizes your membership. So in our Constitution, we actually updated it several years ago to state that a fully vested, fully functioning member is someone who has been saved and who has been baptized biblically and who has identified with this church and has completed the Starting Point class and has signed the church covenant. What that does is it keeps us from being infiltrated by someone who's a mole or something of this nature. People sometimes join churches with the intent of trying to create problems, and especially with the homosexual agenda the last few years, that's something that Christian Law Association advises churches to do, is to make sure that people have expressed their agreement with your doctrine, which states your belief about human sexuality, before they are allowed to be a member of your church. We say, what about a person who just gets baptized last Sunday and they've got all kinds of baggage? They're a member on probation. Okay, they're not a voting member, they're not a fully vested member, they're not a member who can do anything legally according to the Constitution. They're a member in spirit, and they could receive the Lord's table, but they're invited to everything, but when it comes to our Constitution, they're not really a full member until they've completed the class and signed the covenant, which is a part of the class. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Letter B. Advertised for 3 weeks in the bulletin and announcements so that people, and that I think it's one of the most important announcements we make in church is about this class that's coming up, and pastor takes a minute to describe it, or the ladies on the video screens on the commercials. Letter C, host a reception with refreshments for recent guests 1 to 2 weeks before the class starts. I love this as a part of our strategy. 2 weeks before the class, every 3 or 4 months, we hold what we call a coffee and biscotti. I don't know why we call it that, because we saw it somewhere else probably. But biscotti is a little pastry that's really hard and almost feels stale, but it's trendy apparently, okay? And we actually have all kinds of other refreshments there too, but we call it a coffee and biscotti with pastor. And people are sitting in our pews that are kind of on the fringes, and many of them haven't even filled out a visitor card. And you say, if you're newer to LBC in the last few months and you'd like to get to know the pastor a little better, he'll be in this room adjacent to the auditorium for a few minutes after church. And just stop by. And in that room, we see people saved almost every time we do that in that room, because a lot of our pastoral staff come and help, and deacons help come and host. And people bring their friends to that. And we invite them to the class at that little fellowship. That's just one of the ways we invite people to the class. It's not our main strategy for getting people to the class, but we always pick up a few at the coffee and biscotti event who then come to the class a couple weeks later. Letter D, invite the following groups via email, phone, and mail. Those who have joined since the last set of classes, those who have joined prior to the last set but missed a class. Every time we do these classes, we have someone who misses week 2 or misses week 4, and we keep a record in the office of which week they came and which week they missed, and we make sure that we invite them the next time around. Number 3, those who have visited the church in recent months. So we email, we call, and we mail to their mailbox everybody who's visited the church in the last 4 months, inviting them to this class and telling them that it's an opportunity. Pastor Chapel would love to get to know them better. Number 4, those who attend Sunday school but haven't yet joined the church. If you have a number of adult Sunday school classes, every one of those teachers needs to buy into this and know that they have people in their class that are members of their class but not yet members of the church, and they need to help get them to the class. Letter E, prepare notebooks for the class. I brought the notebook that we give. We give folks a notebook on week number 1, and this is just a $2 investment that sends them an impression about how serious we take this. And it has the lesson outline for week number 1 in it, and then it has a few materials in the front. And I get up in the first 10 minutes of the class and tell them about everything they received that day. Everything they received is in your notes later, and they receive 3 or 4 little pieces of kind of owner's manual stuff for being at Lancaster Baptist in that class each week. Next, arrange for select staff and deacons to help host the class or any other member that you've felt like would be good. Letter G, prepare name tags for everyone who RSVPs. I like the name tags because it can help us to learn names, and as we're trying to follow up with people. And we have blank name tags because every single week, every single time we do the class, we have people show up because we have people in the 8:30 service who hear the announcement in the service and then come to the class that way. Letter H, send reminder emails and make reminder phone calls. Letter I, have a check-in table with a secretary to distribute the materials and to take attendance. We do the starting point class most often either in the choir room where some of our sessions are this week, or in West Wing 201, which is upstairs adjacent to the auditorium. And so we have a secretary on each side of the class outside the door with a table with the materials for that week, checking people in and giving them their name tag and taking attendance. Next, provide refreshments for the class. This is just money really, really, really well spent. We spend, if you take a church's advertising budget, if you include everything they spend, whether it's track printing, radio commercials, billboards, newspaper ads, Yellow Pages ads, internet fees, we spend hundreds of dollars per visitor to get someone to come. If you take everything you spend in 52 weeks and divide it by how many visitors you get, that tells you how much you're spending to get a visitor to your church. And then to spend a few more dollars on some donuts and coffee and pastries and diced fruit and notebooks and a couple things I'm going to show you in a minute that we give them is just a really good investment, because these people are your absolute hottest, best prospects who hopefully are going to become longtime members of the body with you. Number three, content to cover during the class. I want you to know what we cover each of the 4 weeks. Now, we have actually adjusted the class slightly. We do it in 3 weeks now, and the only reason we do it in 3 weeks is because a few of us said, Pastor, why don't you just not do it for 4 weeks, do it in 3 weeks so that it's a little not as hard on you. But we definitely believe of the 4 weeks is the best way to recommend doing it. Number one, the first week is the story of our church. And again, this is a lesson that I'll send you. It's very unique to us. The other lessons aren't going to be as unique to us maybe, but this lesson is very unique to us. And what we did was we sat down and asked ourselves, what are, you know, eight or 10 or 12 characteristics that we want people to know about us as a church, and let's define ourselves on the first week. And we go through. I'm gonna tell you what they are real quick. I'll read them off to you. You don't need to write them down because you're gonna get them in an email. Oh man, I have blanks here. I thought they were filled in. Bible based was the first thing. We want people to know we're a Bible based church. Personal soul. We believe in personal soul winning. Or personal witnessing. We believe in personal discipleship. We believe in biblical worship. We talk about that. Sometimes we go, well, I used to go to a church where they had a band or whatever, and so pastor has a minute to address that on week number one. And he'll say a word about our music and the fact that our goal for our music is to please the Lord and to not to try to mimic after the world. Devotional lives. We want our members to have a devotional life on their own during the week. Family-centered. We want this to be a place where families could receive teaching. Missions-minded. Care for the poor. Building leadership. And ministry involvement. And personal holiness. So we just wanted them to know this is kind of the nuts and bolts, the DNA of who we are. A person who's charismatic, who's sitting there, notices that we didn't mention in our top 12 things that we believe in the importance of speaking in tongues or something of this nature. This is the story of our church, and it really is just a great introduction. We want them to... I'm sorry?
We'll give you A plus for that.
Thank you. We want them to get to know us. We want them to know what makes us unique from any other church they might have visited in the past or visited in the future. And we want them to know kind of what makes us tick. And we hope they think and they come to the conclusion that what makes us tick is the Word of God. We're Bible-based. We give them on that Sunday in the front of the notebook the church calendar, the church constitution, and a brochure for Lancaster Baptist School. Letter B, week number two, is the beliefs of our church. We want them to understand what we believe, where we stand doctrinally, what it means to be a Bible-believing Baptist. A real common question we get being on the West Coast is, what makes a Baptist different than fill-in-the-blank, whatever they've been exposed to in the past? And they get that answer on week number two of this class. We have in this second lesson basically a brief statement of our scriptures, our beliefs, I mean, inspiration of scriptures, the Godhead, the deity of Christ, the person of the Holy Spirit, the sin nature of man, the sacrifice of Christ, resurrection of Christ, salvation by grace, reality of heaven and hell, rapture of the church, and second coming of Christ. And then we go through the Baptist distinctives, Bible authority, autonomy, priesthood of believers, etc. And that's the content for week number two. On week number two, we give them a list of all the adult classes, and we tell them, one of our hopes is that three weeks from now, when this class ends, you'll get connected into a class to make friends and so forth. We give them a discipleship interest card. We tell them a little bit about discipleship. We give them this little booklet by James Carroll that's kind of a classic called The Trail of Blood, which basically traces our Baptist history. We give them a little leaflet that is out of print, but again, we'll send you the PDF if you ask for it, Why Baptists Are Not Protestants. Sometimes someone visits from a Presbyterian or Methodist background, and we want them to know that Baptists historically are Bible believers who've stood independent of the Protestant denominations. We also offer them, we don't give this to everybody, but we have a resource table that we sell them. As long as you'll promise to read it, we'll give you any book for free. And we have Brother Ouellette's book on why we use the King James Version. It's called A More Sure Word. And we have Mike Gass's book, A Glorious Church, which describes the biblical history and definition of New Testament churches. Week number three, we cover the purpose of the church. If you want to jot this down in the notes there in the margin, we say that our purpose is loving God, growing together, and serving others. Loving God, growing together, and serving others. And on week number three, we talk through what that means, and we explain to them that, and we try to paint these three simple two-word slogans as a roadmap for them. We want these three little two-word slogans to be the simplified, dissolved down understanding of where we hope they'll go with us and what it means to be a part of this family. And it's and we tell them, we're asking you in this class to consider making a commitment to loving God, a commitment to growing together, and a commitment to serving others. And we define each of those. Loving God involves participating in the worship services and honoring the Lord with tithes and offerings and walking with Him and allowing Him to conform our lives to the image of Christ. Growing together means that we're gonna relate to our fellow members. We're gonna get involved in a class that lets us grow spiritually, and we're gonna lead our families to study and apply the Word of God. A commitment to serving others means we're gonna find a place to serve somewhere in the church, and we're going to bear burdens with one another, and we're gonna reach out to those who don't know the Lord with the gospel. And so, really, I mean, you think about that. When you inherit a church culture or you're trying to turn the corner, you've got all this stuff to deal with, people that are involved in ministry and have been there for a long time who aren't anywhere near what you're trying to get. Well, with a starting point class, you at least get to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, everybody from here forward is going to hear me say this, what I expect of a member and of someone who serves. And we say right in this lesson in week number three that if you're going to get involved in ministry, there are varying levels of expectations depending on what kind of ministry involvement you'd like to be involved in. And if you're newer in the Lord and younger in the Lord and not ready to take a huge step, there are some entry-level things you can do, and that's okay. And people want to serve, and we're painting a roadmap here for where they can go. We want them to know what biblical values and behaviors are most important to us. This expresses kind of what we're trying to accomplish and translates to their role in the body of Christ. We want to see themselves working through these statements as a process. On that week number three, we give them a ministry survey, which asks them about their experiences, if they know how to paint or if they're an experienced electrician. I'll send you a PDF of the survey. You can Xerox it if you want. We give them a giving envelopes. Because we talk about the fact that giving is one of the ways we honor God and worship Him. We give them this little book, which is about a $1 investment, Living on God's Economy, 10 Reasons to Place Your Financial Hope in the Promises of God, written by our pastor. And it talks to them about the view of stewardship biblically. We give them this little enrollment card, how they can learn to do online giving. We started online giving a few years ago. We're not on the cutting edge of that. Some churches are further than us, but right now, after just a few years and some stumbling through it with some cumbersome technology, about 35% of our giving is done online, volume-wise. And then we also give them, on this week, the membership covenant. So before the class starts, before Pastor comes up and teaches at 10:15, Sunday school starts at 10, I get someone to cover my class for me for a few minutes while I do the introductory things, and then Pastor comes up and teaches. And one of the things I do is I hold this up, I say, now today you received the membership covenant. We believe that membership matters, and we're asking you to prayerfully consider what Pastor teaches today. He's going to teach about loving God, growing together, and serving others, and we're going to ask you if you agree with this, and what we want to ask you to do is, if you agree with us, to sign this and bring it back next Sunday. And that will be your way to respond to what Pastor teaches you today. If you believe this is biblical, and if you believe the Lord's leading you here, we would be honored to have you unite with us. And this doesn't make them a member, but it's a string that's attached to membership. And if they don't fill it out, we follow up with them, and it's not heavy-handed or anything, but typically they do. And some of them turn it in and then join a few weeks later. Some of them join and then remember to turn it in when we follow up and ask them for it. But this, constitutionally, this is required to be on file for them to be a voting member of the church. And it says things like, I've read the Constitution and I agree with it. And then it has some commitments about loving God, growing together, and serving others. It says, I'll participate in the worship services. I'll honor the Lord with systematic financial support of his work through tithes and offerings. I'll walk with Christ through Bible study and prayer. It just sets the bar. I read a book probably 5 or 6 years ago that some of you may have read. And as with any book that's not published by Striving Together, I wouldn't give it a blanket endorsement. I wouldn't give the book or the authors a blanket endorsement. But the book was called Simple Church, and there was some language in the book that really was helpful for me at the time we were trying to get this class started. And he says of the co-author, Eric recently thought about exchanging his reading glasses for contacts. Then he was told he would need to attend an orientation on how to install them properly. He is still using the glasses. Who has time for a class to install contact lenses? Eric's doctor would not allow him to get contacts. His commitment was too low. There is an orientation for everything these days, almost, except for joining many churches. It seems that the commitment to buy contact lenses is greater than the commitment to join many churches. Most churches only require new members to fill out a card or a triplicate form. It happens too fast. Expectations are minimal. Signing up for a department store credit card takes more time than joining most churches. Effective churches, however, tend to require new members' classes. And I wrote in the margin there, because I read this 5 or 6 years ago, I wrote, ouch. And someone might hear that statement or hear me talk about this and go, man, that must really slow down the influx of people. It doesn't. It doesn't. It just raises the bar, and the influx stays about the same. But here's what changes. The retention rate. They actually stick around because they're coming wanting to know. They don't join your church because they don't want to know what you think the Christian life looks like. They joined your church because they believe in you. And so if you take an opportunity at the moment of their joining to tell them what you think the Christian life looks like for them, that's when they want to hear it. They don't want to hear it a year later when they're set in the ways. And honestly, some of this stuff, they know they're not there right then. And pastor teaches it with the spirit that acknowledges that we know you're maybe not there already, but this is where we hope you'll go with us. Okay? Week number 4, we cover the structure of the church. We want them to know how we operate. People have all kinds of crazy ideas about how a church should operate. They don't know what deacons are. They don't know what staff does. They don't know how the finances are handled. And that in week number 4 really tackles some of that stuff. It tells them what deacons do. It tells them what does it mean that what is our pastor's role in the church? And it outlines the pastor's responsibilities. Hey, all of us have been in ministry long enough to know that sometimes people have unrealistic and unbiblical expectations of the pastor. And this says, here's what the pastor does. He's the point number 1, Christ is the chief shepherd, or he is the owner or the head. I think that's the term. He is the head of the church. And it talks about he purchased the church with his blood and so forth. And then the pastor serves as the under shepherd, and he feeds the flock. He prays for the flock. He oversees the flock. And there's scriptures for all of these. You'll see them in the PDFs. And he leads the flock. And his staff members serve as an extension of his ministry among the flock. Just like he introduced all the pastoral staff in the session earlier, he puts our pictures on the screen and introduces us to them right then so people know. And that just kind of tells them these are people who help him. And if they get a visitor in the hospital or at their home from one of these people, they understand that it's on the pastor's behalf. Then he talks about the deacons serving the church family. And he talks about the adult Bible fellowships teaching the Word of God and developing relationships and reaching people. Next, number 4, effectively conducting the class. We'll just kind of buzz through some of these nuts and bolts and then hopefully have a minute for some questions. Effectively communicate with the participants. Collect RSVPs 7 to 14 days before it begins. Remind them on Saturday before it begins. Email and call the absentees each week. Every time we have the class, after week number 1, we sit down with the list of everyone who was invited, everyone who RSVP'd, and whether the ones who RSVP'd came or didn't come, and the ones who didn't, whether they came or didn't come, and we invite them all again the second week. If they came, we thank them for coming and tell them about what's being covered next week. If they didn't come, we call them and email them and try to get them to commit to come to week number 2. And every time, there are people who came to week number 2 who meant to come to week number 1 but missed it. And that's okay. We're going to get them week number 1 next time around. But the value of the class still exists even if they miss the first week. Thank people for participating and remind them of next week's topic. Remind them by phone each week. Letter B, invite select deacons to greet the class and pray weekly. We line up a deacon each of the 4 weeks, and that deacon, pastor introduces them, and it just sends a message that the deacons are bought into this, and we're working as a team together, and they share their testimony. It's a very sweet thing. Letter C, provide free resources at a book table on frequently asked questions. The mini books or the pamphlets that Striving Together Publications produces on dozens of different topics, those are great things to use. And we have books on there about why we're not charismatic, and we have books on there about why we use the King James Version, etc. After week two or three, meet with anyone in the class who hasn't yet joined and encourage them to take that step. I come to the back of the classroom at the dismissal. After week number one, but the next week I do. And I just stand back there, and then pastor kind of acknowledges me just before he dismisses and says, and either I'll come up or he'll say, if you have questions about going ahead and taking the step of membership, either by being baptized or by joining the church if you're from a Baptist background, I'd like to chat with you about taking care of that, and I can just stand around and we'll talk about that. And every week, there's two or three people I talk to, and they get baptized or join the church either that day or the following week. And I mean, I know how hard I used to work, and I still work hard at going to people's homes and talking to them about getting them committed for baptism and getting them committed to join the church. And I still do that, and we all still do that. But this is like a layup under the basket by yourself. This is like when nine guys are at that end of the court, and you're down here, and one of your guys gets the rebound, and he chucks it down to you, and you just throw it in for a gimme layup. That's what this class is as far as seeing people join the church. They're already here. They're going to a class. They've heard pastor teach, and I'm just there, and I'm talking to them about what they need to do and the step they need to take. Next, ask them to return the signed covenant on week number four. We email them a PDF of it, just in case they lost it or whatever, just as a little reminder. If you lost your copy, you can print this off and bring it back. Letter F, take time for questions at the end of each week's lesson. Letter G, remind people to participate in the new members' reception. Everybody in that class who actually joins the church after the fourth week in the evening, 5 p.m. evening, Sunday evening service, we check them in the lobby as they come into the lobby for the evening service and give them a name tag one last time, and they're seated among the congregation. And then my assistant, who checks them in the lobby with a team of people, volunteers, gives us the list of everyone who checked in. I give that to pastor, and then he reads their names. And these are all the people and he talks about them as he calls their names. They come up across the front, and then the church always gives them a standing ovation. We're just so thankful, and it makes them feel so honored that this body of believers are excited that they joined them. And it's just a very sweet thing. It's a biblical thing. Next, eight, and then we have cake and punch in the gymnasium after that service dismisses. Letter H, invite each class participant to a meal for fellowship with pastoral staff. We believe very strongly in the power of hospitality. And our hope is that with every person in that class, someone on the pastoral team is developing a relationship with them during these first few weeks. And we're going to have them into our home or to a restaurant for a meal where we just love on them and get to know them and hear their story. And in some cases, lead them to the Lord. In other cases, talk to them about membership. Or in other cases, just talk about what steps they need to take. Next, take photos of class participants for use internally and on a public bulletin board. We don't do a public bulletin board anymore, but we do use the photos internally. And if you ever do a church directory or if you use church management software, you can use those photos. So just have a photographer at the class and take folks' pictures, and it's a blessing. It helps the pastoral staff learn names and so forth. Following up after the class, host a new members reception on the Sunday night of week four, letter A. Letter B, I'm sorry I didn't keep doing this. We went through all that trouble to get this connected. Following up after the class, host a new members reception, follow up on those who've expressed interest in discipleship. So that's kind of the next step. They've completed the class, get them in an adult class, and get them into discipleship. Number next, follow up on those who've expressed interest in ministry involvement. Not all of them are going to be ready to teach Sunday school after they finish the Starting Point class. We know that. But they might be ready to start serving as a volunteer to clean the church restrooms or to greet people in the lobby or to serve in the nursery or to do something of this nature. Letter D, follow up on those who have yet to submit their covenant. And then next, ensure that each participant connects with an adult Sunday school class for ongoing growth. So that's the key there. That's just the important baton handoff. We take the list on what would be week number five, and we find out, did they go to a class? because we've had a disconnect. If not, they're going to slip through the cracks. They went to the four classes, the 4 weeks. Week number five, we want to know which class they went to and make sure they get into a class. Okay, we've got about 2 or 3 minutes for questions. Yes, sir.
All right, on the topic of baptism, do you have some kind of resource you use for the guy that got baptized at Calvary Chapel and now he wants to join?
Yeah, in fact, I will write down to include that. We have a chapter in the book, The Baptist Deacon, that I helped pastor with the content of that particular chapter, because he asked me to write this for this class. And I just keep the PDF as a printout, and I hand it to people sometimes when we chat. And usually I don't hand it to them as much as I just talk through it with them. But I'd had that conversation so many times over the last 18 years that finally I put it in print so that our staff could have it and so forth. But yeah, I'll include that in the materials that I send. It's just something. It's a little article. It's a few pages long that basically is entitled "Understanding Baptism and Rebaptism." If someone was baptized in a church that's not a Bible-believing Baptist church, yes, sir.
What about the ones that come sporadically, the kid 2 or 3 and miss the rest, or whatever, or 1 or 2 and miss the rest?
If they come to at least 2 of the 4 classes and turn in a covenant, we consider them a member and we consider it done. But we still invite them to the class they miss the next time. In our church management software, we have several classifications of people: visitor, Sunday school member, and then I think we call them, I forget what term we use, associate member. We call them an associate member until they've been to the class at least 2 of the 4 weeks and turned in the covenant. Then they're just a member, and that's what, of course, most folks are. Some people are associate member a long time because they never get around to completing the process. Yes, sir?
What church management software do you use?
We use Arena by Shelby. We like Fellowship One a little better, but it doesn't do some of the things we need. So we use Arena by Shelby. Shelby's the company. Arena's the product. Shelby Systems, Inc. Yes, sir.
Pastor always teaches
there. There have been a few times where I've substituted for him if he was on vacation or something of that nature. But yeah, the design is for him to teach it all the time.
And so was that 4 weeks if he's not able to do that? You can just
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Regarding the church constitution, do you hand that to them, or do you just...
We give it to them on week number one. It's in the front flap of the notebook. Yes, sir.
Since this is a requirement for membership, do you have recommendations retroactively how to do that?
We grandfathered everybody forward when we made this change, and that was just kind of our only real option from managing data. We do try to keep the church records updated, so if someone hasn't attended in a long time, we move them to an inactive status, because our constitution has always required participation, at least. Yes, sir?
And how long do y'all wait before you move into a new?
It's very subjective. We review the directory a couple times a year, and it's based on kind of the pastoral team discussing it and kind of knowing, is this person just not like to get up on Sundays, or have they joined another church? Have they moved out of the area? If they're still around and still open to us, we keep them on the roll even if they're not attending. But we'll make them maybe an inactive member so that at least we know that for records that they're not a voting member.
The
rest?
The fellowship meals with staff, does that come from church budget or staff?
In most cases, the staff's personal budgets are personal, which is why it ends up being at their home instead of restaurants a lot of times, which is better anyway. Anything else? All right, and you want to get to the next session. Next session starts in 10 minutes. I'll be around. And if you didn't get the clipboard, where are the clipboards? Do you have them all, Brother Johnson? If you didn't get the clipboard, go ahead and stop by back there in the back. Thanks for being here. Good. Tim Christensen.
Nice to meet you. Question for everyone. How long have you been an associate pastor?
18 years.
Only the full time?
Well...